Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting. And keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak particularly well for anything. All our opinions are our own. We don't speak for any of the A's, AACA, any of them. We don't speak for any of them. They're guys. Our opinions are all our own because no one else would claim them.
I've borrowed your opinion sometimes.
You what?
I've borrowed your opinion sometimes. As examples of what not to do.
Yeah, as examples of a failure. Yeah. By the way.
Epic.
Welcome to Recovery 101, Rule 62. My name is Bruce B., as always with.
Shelley.
And Mark.
Speaking of failure, if you're ever having a really particularly bad day, stroll on over to YouTube.com and do a search for fail compilation. These are videos of all the people doing stupid, really stupid failure
stupid
type
human
things.
Tricks.
And I'll tell you what, if you're feeling bad, it'll make you feel better knowing that you're not as stupid as all the people in these shows.
Is that why you watch them endlessly?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel so much better about myself when I'm done.
Watching stupid human tricks being done on film?
Oh, my God. Myriads of them. I mean, there's like the guy that's cutting down the tree in front of his house and does it go away from the house? No, it falls on top of the house and, like, goes right through the, you know, porch. Things like that.
Cool.
Awesome! So.
What time is it, Bruce?
Oh, I'm about to look at the clock. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. That was a big breath there at the beginning. I hear this.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a story that, for some reason, is making a
sad
comeback.
Sad but true.
It's not about a cub, is it?
Yes, a bear cub named Queenie.
About a cub we all want.
This is actually an old story. Really old.
It's love and spread it
1916
around.
Old.
Okay, why is it back?
I don't know. It's just a new story. It was listed in a thing of like the most famous animal tricks ever. Apparently John Akey had a bear. This is up in Wisconsin, Green Bay area. Had a bear named Queenie who did all kinds of tricks. She could roller skate. She rode a bike. She could jump rope, she wrestled, all other stuff. She could also...
My kids can't even do all those things.
I know. She could also drive a car.
In 1916?
Well, in Model A or Model T or whatever the first car was, he had a car.
Okay.
Okay.
She was reportedly quite a good driver and very safe. And she would get behind the wheel and he would tell her, go right or go left. She cornered just fine. But other people were quite startled by this, and the police decided that it might be dangerous, so they wanted to get Queenie off the road, but they couldn't find a law that applied to bears driving cars.
Oh.
So she was allowed to continue driving the car.
And why is it resurfaced?
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that a bear could drive a car.
Mayor Bloomberg have a problem with it or something?
He would. I mean, think about that in modern terms. If you're on the freeway and you see a bear driving a car, are you going to check your med levels or what? I mean,
I heard, now this could be internet rumor, but I heard that Stevie Wonder has a car that has a steering wheel on the side where he can appear as if he's driving while his driver is driving. So you could see him doing his head shake thing when driving down the road. That might cause a little concern.
It might. Okay, we have another idiot of the week.
We don't have a sound for that.
We don't have a sound for that. Well, it's kind of the nasty idiot of the week.
Okay, we do have a sound for that.
And the raspberry goes to the Foothills Mall.
Okay.
Particularly the Foothills in Maryville, Tennessee. Particularly that mall cop. Sorry, sir, but you may be overstepping your bounds a little.
Blart.
Did he shoot someone?
No. He kicked a veteran out of the mall. Newly come back from Afghanistan, veteran Gary Trost, he had four rather devastating gunshot wounds to his legs, and he cannot walk very far. His legs start hurting. His sciatic nerve was severed.
Oh.
So, yeah, so he can't walk very far.
Thank you for serving.
Yeah, and if he does try to walk more than, you know, 100 feet, he can't really feel it very well, and he starts getting wobbly and falls over. What he can do is drive his little Segway. You know those things where you stand in them and you push the button and it goes, bee, and you move along. The mall cop kicked him out of the mall because he didn't want to put his Segway in the car because he said, I can't walk around the mall without my Segway. And the mall cop said he was speeding.
Oh.
That's just mean.
Yeah.
Was
now,
he speeding?
Truth be told, you can go pretty fast on one of those. They're not really intended to.
Yeah, but you can.
But as I mentioned the fail video earlier, there are some fail videos of people that going a little too fast with those, and, of course, they're not really familiar with driving them, and they end up, if you fall off, it is quite possible for it to continue.
Without you.
Without you. I'm not saying I'm siding with the mall cop here. I'm just saying that you could go pretty quick on those. You wouldn't want one coming through the front of your store window.
No.
In Tallahassee,
Florida!
You know, the legislature is really on things in Florida. They are debating legislation to legalize 64-ounce beer mugs. I'm sorry, 64-ounce beer jugs.
Yeah.
And?
Because currently in Florida, 32-ounce beer jugs are legal.
Mm-hmm.
And 128-ounce beer jugs are legal.
Uh-huh.
They're called growlers.
Growlers, yep.
So why do they have a thing against something in the middle?
A half growler.
The 64-ounce, the half gallon, is illegal. And this came about because you could go to a, you know, local brewery or whatever and get your growler filled up,
mm-hmm.
And then take it home. But at some point, they outlawed the 64-ounce size because they said that it would interfere with the proper distribution of beer. I don't know why the 128-ounce is still legal, but it is.
Could buy two 32-ounce ones.
Yes,
that's okay.
You can go and get two 32-ounce ones. You just can't get one 64-ounce one. What I find interesting is that the guy in the story who was quoted, and he's been in the story, he's called a beer snob. He said that the law makes no sense to him. He said, if you want to go to the brewery and bring beer home for you and your wife, the 64 ounces, two beers.
Wow.
Wow, that's a...
That's an alcoholic right there. Two 32-ounce beers. What was the company used to... didn't Guinness or Mickey or something, they made some really big cans. Foster's Lager, I know for a while, had a really good size can.
Miller makes a 40-ounce bottle.
Well, yeah, there is the, you know, the quartz. So,
what?
Besides the fact that the guy thinks that 64 is two beers.
Yeah.
What makes, does it say anything on why the city council or whoever this is thinks this is a great idea?
State legislature. Well, they want to legalize it because it's illegal.
Yeah.
They want to legalize it.
Yeah, they want to legalize the 64-ounce growler.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm not all for drinking beer
anymore.
Not
sure why there's much debate on this.
Well, apparently there's quite a bit of debate. The distribution companies are all up in arms because it cuts into their profits because they're going directly to the brewery.
So why doesn't the brewery just start making 64s?
Legislators are master debaters.
Yeah. Why don't they just make 64-ouncers and sell them in the stores?
The day has come.
Shelley's moving on without you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several major telephone companies are now asking the federal government to pull the plug on landline telephone service. By 2018, these, that it's not, doesn't say which telephone companies, but I'm sure it's most of the big ones, want to completely do away with landline telephone service to residential consumers.
You know what's a bummer about that?
Apartment buildings with a front gate that you have to be buzzed into.
No, that's that. Yeah, that's one. Another one is you lose power. You can still use a landline.
Right. If it's not an electric
phone. Unless it's an electric phone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you have like old school phone and it's not a portable phone, you can use it after an earthquake or something like that.
I built a house. I put electronic phones all through the house. I put one standard telephone in the closet.
Yep.
You could always use it.
Yep.
You can still use your cell phone if the power goes out.
Not necessarily.
That's more than about 2.5 hours of talk time.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, not for long.
That's true. But
and that's if the cell phone tower hasn't gone down for lack of power, although I know a lot of those have generators.
It's kind of sad because, like, one of the best excuses for getting out of a conversation that you don't want to be in because it used to be when you were talking on the phone, you could only go as far as the cord would let you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't really do anything other than talk on the phone.
Correct.
Which limited the length of your conversation because you can't stand in the hallway all day talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Well, now, you get a cell phone, you get a cordless phone, people expect you to be able to talk as long as you want because you can go wherever you want.
No. Hey, I've only got one bar left.
That's true.
My phone's dying. Gotta go.
Kids are
gone. So what about the conversation? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, that always works.
Yeah.
Then they call you back
and
you don't answer.
Now.
Yeah.
Well.
Nate.
You're breaking up.
They used to do at Earthlink. They tell you if your phone lines at your house would be back up with regular lines before DSL and stuff, that they'd say that the condition of your phone line would affect the condition of your internet. And we'd tell people you need to get the phone company to come and fix it. And the phone company would say we don't hear any line noise. So we'd tell people to tune their clock radio
to a static,
and hold it up near the phone while you're talking. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? And it'd be like, and they go, oh my God, your line noise is terrible. Yeah, could you send someone out?
There was also the old, when you were hooked up on the dial-up, you know, sometimes it would seize your computer, like you'd get locked up.
Yeah. Yes.
You could always take your car keys and hit the line with your car keys, and it would interrupt the signal, and it would let go of your computer. The old car key on the line trick.
Wow, there's people out there going, these guys are flipping old.
All right, let's move on to Google. Google's in hot water with about 2 billion people right now.
Wow, that'll cause a short.
Because, if you go on Twitter, it's all over Twitter. I was reading some of the, I don't have Twitter, but I was reading some of the feed.
Although Recovery 101 is on Twitter.
Google, Bing posted Easter eggs and bunnies and little crosses and things because it's Easter. Google is celebrating Cesar Chavez's birthday.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes, apparently quite a few people are up in arms about this.
I wondered about that because they always have, Google, to their credit, always has cool stuff for all the holidays.
Yes.
And I look at Easter and there's a picture of Cesar Chavez in between the O's or something, or his head is one of
the
O's.
Huh?
The fighter? Julio Cesar Chavez?
No, the grape picker. You know, the human rights person?
He the boycott on grapes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
No uvas.
The
migrant workers champion. So he's the Google poster boy today instead of Easter, and it's causing quite a ruckus. And what I found amusing is that one of the Twitter responses was an employee of Google who posted that Google does not recognize holidays.
Bull.
And I'm thinking,
I've seen their Christmas display looks
Christmas,
great.
Yeah. All
and
kinds
their
of
Thanksgiving
crap.
Display looks great.
Yeah.
And their 4th of July display looks great.
But he was saying that in order not to offend anyone, that they don't recognize holidays. I'm like, yes, they
do.
Okay,
I'm offended.
I'm offended now.
Yeah, you've now offended me.
All right.
Does anybody use, do any of you guys use Bing?
No.
I have.
I don't use it.
I don't use it.
In Oregon.
Don't need Microsoft having any more power than they have.
We're in Oregon, Bruce. Move on.
Been there.
Mount Angel, Oregon.
Oh, the greatest Oktoberfest on the planet.
And we're going to talk about that.
I've been into it.
Apparently, the town council is quite upset about the name of the newest bar that was built by an American of German descent. In fact, he says, "I'm as German as you can, as an American can get." He has put up his new establishment is called the Drunken German.
And what's the problem?
It's perfect for them.
I think it's an awesome name. However, the town council says and the Chamber of Commerce say that they have worked hard to make Oktoberfest a family festival, and the name doesn't send a good message. It's an Oktoberfest. The point is to get drunk. How is that a family festival?
They serve beer. You know, you were talking about that other thing, what you call it, the growler.
Yeah.
They serve beer in these things that look like popcorn tubs. And a big thing there, at least in the 80s when I was there, was who could have the highest mountain of popcorn tubs. And, you know, those things were like, I don't even know how many ounces, but like a large, extra large popcorn tub.
Yeah.
That's a lot of beer. And when you've got a stack that looks like a pyramid with like 60 of those in it, you got some really drunk people.
Yes, you do.
Mount Angel's got like a couple thousand people, except during
Oktoberfest.
And then it swells to like 30-something thousand. A fun time was had by all.
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to Gilmer, Texas.
Town has getting late.
The town has a cumulative blood alcohol content of...
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 million.
Okay, we're moving on to Gilmer, Texas. The police are looking for a burglary suspect. He is described as a black male. He's about 5'9" tall, and he's of thin build. He is wearing no pants and no shoes.
I'll bet he's gotten dressed since then.
Huh?
I bet he's gotten dressed since then.
Well,
he'd be easy to spot, though.
Yeah.
Be really easy to spot.
You're under arrest. You have the stolen property, but I have pants.
He was holding up a Dairy Queen.
He should have stolen some clothes.
At about 3:15 in the morning. Why the Dairy Queen was open at 3:15 in the morning, I don't
know.
24-hour DQ in Texas?
I guess so. But so the police came, and as they were chasing him, his pants fell off when he was running, and then his shoes fell off. They did retrieve the money.
He got away.
They did retrieve the money from the
That's
Dairy Queen because
ass
it was
cops.
In
he
his
got
pants.
Away.
Well, yeah, the money was in his pants, so they did.
But his pants fell off, which means they had to start off by sliding down his legs while he was trying to run.
Yes, pants
How
on the ground.
How could you not
And he got away.
Guy.
He just jumped out of his pants.
How could you not catch this guy?
The barefoot, naked guy.
Yes,
I mean, I see...
Running through Texas.
And I will give cops credit, because when you watch the show Cops, you'll see these guys that are wearing shoes that don't look like running shoes at all, and they're chasing down young guys and catching them. How can you chase a guy whose pants are falling down and not catch him? That's lame. They should have just shot him. Like, winged him.
Can't shoot him in the back.
Yeah, you shoot him in the leg.
He turns around.
Fire around, and then when he turns around, you can shoot him in the front.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. We're about out of time, but there are a couple of cute ones.
Okay. I'll try to avoid lots of comments.
Not real long ones, though.
Please.
Although here, we've got a victory for the little guy. In New York, a New York judge has thrown out the lawsuit that was filed by a group of atheists alleging that the steel I-beam cross from the World Trade Center from 9/11 was a religious symbol and had no place on public ground.
Why?
Because it is a shrine. They were calling it a religious shrine, and
so?
They filed a lawsuit stating that it should not be in the World Trade Center Museum.
Why?
Because it's public property.
So?
Okay, let me finish the story, Mr. Why. So? The judge threw it out, which I totally agree with the judge in this case. And you know me, I'm a big separation of church and state. The reason for that, that is that I-beam cross that was left standing after the building collapsed became a source of comfort for the people that were searching for their loved ones during that time.
So?
Whether or not it's a religious symbol in that case does not matter because it's part of the
it
history
doesn't matter
of the
if
event.
It is.
It's part of the history
well, it
of the
is
event.
Part
it doesn't
of the
matter
history
if
of the
it
event.
Is a religious symbol.
Well, the atheists want to put their own symbol in the museum, and I'm like, I didn't know you had one. Because if you have a symbol, that means that you believe in something. Therefore, you're not atheist.
I agree with you.
So, we've won one round.
Well, okay.
Here.
Well, I got to know.
What?
What's the symbol they want to put
I don't
up?
Know. I've never seen a symbol for an atheist.
I haven't either. Okay.
So anyway, the judge threw it out. The cross will stay.
Picture of Yoko Ono.
The cross stays. Okay, in where is
what
this?
Does Morgan Freeman have to say about that?
I don't know.
And I don't care, more importantly.
In Barry, maybe this is Utah, a man who, police officers were called to a downtown bar at about 2:30 a.m. on Saturday night because a man who had a little bit too much to drink decided that he was wanted to impress his friends and the people around him and decided that he was going to tell everyone he was a kung fu fighter. Police say he actually was not a kung fu fighter and lost the fight.
That cat was not fast as lightning.
No, he was. The police believed they were called because he was still trying to pick fights with people. The police decided he was intoxicated, should be taken to jail for his safety. But then he told the police he had kung fu fighting skills, and that was when things got really sad for him, and he was arrested for assault.
Taser.
Yes.
I had a friend named John. John, it kills me. On Facebook, this guy looks like he's still 25. But he was becoming the Taekwondo, and he had achieved, like, the first belt and was a blonde surfer guy. All the chicks liked him. And these guys, the Babakidis brothers, came looking for him. And he said, we had four or five guys there. He goes, don't worry, I'll take care of this. And he started getting up on his toes a little, and this guy came up, just broke his nose, just laid him out with a punch. And they're looking at us, you want some? We're like, we like to just pick John up off the ground and go, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The police did, however, rethink their arrest, and they let him go when he sobered up.
Okay, that's good.
Yes, probably deciding he had enough of humiliation. and this last one from New Haven, Connecticut. There was a standoff. There were two suspects wanted for stealing a car, and they barricaded themselves inside someone else's house. They were believed to be armed, so of course now this turns into a giant standoff. All kinds of cops outside. They told the men that they were going to let the canine units into the house with them.
Release the hounds.
Release the hounds. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a mix-up, and the hounds were off on another job and could not be located at that time, but they'd already told the guys through the bullhorn, the canine units are on their way. So
you put two rookies on all fours and have them run inside.
No, what they did was they had cops stand at various windows and bark like dogs. And what cracks me up is the guys were so stupid, they believed that there were dogs outside and came out with their hands up.
You know what?
It worked.
There's guys that could sound like dogs, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was amusing. But can you imagine?
See, we have really silent dogs. You're not going to know they're in the house until they bite you.
They're so offenders. But can you imagine being a passerby watching this standoff and all of a sudden a bunch of cops
bunch
around
of cops
the house
down
and
start
going,
woof, 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 woof.
Where was this?
New Haven, Connecticut.
Because, yeah. See, in Texas, they just start shooting bullets into the house.
Yes.
whatever happened in the days of tear gas? Tear gas
is
usually pretty effective. Of course, it's really hard on the house.
Connecticut.
Yeah, and it was somebody else's house. I mean,
that's
Connecticut.
True.
Yeah.
It is hard on the house. I went into a house, a friend of ours, Mike V, from years ago. His son got rooted out of a house, and we went in there like 6 weeks after it happened because he needed to get some stuff out of the house.
Eyes still burned a little?
Oh, my God. We're in there for 2 minutes, dude, and my eyes were watering. And there were holes through the wall where these tear gas was shot in through the window, and then it'd go through like one of the walls inside the house. I mean, this house was wrecked from tear gas.
Well,
13 canisters.
Yeah, well,
and I'm like,
what?
that's enough, I think.
When the cops say come out with your hands up, it'd be a good idea if you did that.
Yeah.
Yes, if you know, it goes a long way toward, you know, if you're cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
And we're back.
Shout out to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
SelfWillHappens.com. We have a topic, Shelley. What is it?
She doesn't know.
Shelley's got that deer in the headlights look.
She's got that, I'm tired, and I just want to be done.
Yeah, I've got that, you know what, just go for it, dude, because I don't give a crap.
We started recording like yesterday.
Kicking?
Yes, we did.
Kicking
the tires.
Oh, yes, kick the tires and light the fires.
That's right.
Kicking the tires. This is, well, Mark, tell us how this comes up.
This is our probably semi-annual or more show about how to treat the retreads.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've ever done it exactly in this manner. We've talked about retreads. We've talked about what are newcomers. We've talked about things like that. But, how did this come up in your mind, Mark?
About a week and a half ago, a meeting that I regularly attend, had a couple guys come in who, one of them, I've seen him come back in and take newcomer chips like 7 times since I've been going to the meeting, which is a year. And the other one was sharing about, you know, he was back again. And I kind of wasn't as kind as I might have been able to be with them. Basically about, when the F are you going to stop with this stuff and get serious about this program or go out and do it right, you know? They didn't come back last week. And some people intimated that perhaps I was a little too hard on them, so they didn't come back. Because I didn't realize until the other day that I was so powerful.
I was going to say, I didn't realize you had that much power.
I could make people go out. But I guess I am.
You need to use that power for good.
It was good. Everybody got to share this week.
You know what? Literally, You may be helping the guy hit the bottom he needs to hit. Apparently, my feeling with retreads has always been because, as we know, I was the retread special for 8.5 years.
Yeah, you were the buy three, get one free.
Couldn't get 90 days. And the thing is, back then, most of the old timers they didn't pull any punches when they talked, and I kept going back. I mean, I kept going back, but I mean, there would be guys that would just tell me to shut the F up, and why don't I sit down and try and listen? You know, along the lines of what we said before. You know, you got nothing to share. Keep your mouth shut right now.
Yeah. Take the cotton out of your ears and stick it in your mouth.
Yeah, you know, because working with a retread is different than working with someone who's brand new.
Yeah.
I did a 12-step call the other night with a guy who has never been to program. I mean, he gets loaded all the time, but he's never been to program, so he's not a retread. And, you know, we've kind of finished up our discussion with him going through Chapter 3 of the Big Book, like, well, maybe if I did this, and maybe if I did this, maybe if I did that. And I left him a Big Book. I said, you might want to read Chapter 3, more about alcoholism, because we all tried all that stuff.
Yeah.
But a retread, come on, they know.
Guys who take acid have a hard time with Chapter 3 about taking a trip, not taking a trip.
Taking an acid trip. What do you think, Shelley? Retreads.
I don't know. I'm kind of... Now, you know that I am not as... What do you want to say?
Insensitive?
As Mark is. Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
You know, Mark is kind of sometimes hard on the newcomers and the retreads, but I'm not. But in this case, when you're talking about newcomers, I tend to be a lot more gentle with than retreads. And
of
I have
course.
To agree with Mark on this one. I mean, we had somebody that came in recently after like the fourth or fifth relapse this year or whatever, and I saw him in the meeting, and I said, wow, you're about to die. He looked taken aback, and I was like, well, I'm just being honest. You know, and I took at another meeting, there was another guy. I didn't recognize him. He looked so bad. And then, so he's going to the Tuesday night meeting, and I took him a couple of sandwiches and a bottle of water, and I handed it over to him because, you know, he was on the streets and didn't have a lot of money or whatever. And he said, what's this for? And I said, well, even a condemned prisoner gets his last meal, and you look like this is about your last meal.
Huh.
And I'm not, I mean, and I'm not...
So proud.
I'm not saying these things to be mean.
I'm so proud.
I'm just, you get to a certain point with people when they come in and out and in and out and in and out where it's like, you know, I don't have the time, the patience, and I don't think it's serving any sort of purpose whatsoever to say, oh, welcome back, and pat you and give you a big hug. I don't think it's helping you.
That was exactly my issue, is people said, I don't understand. They're just coming back. They're fragile. And I hurt their feelings.
Oh, they're so sensitive.
And my response back was, I'm sure when they went to go buy their dope, if their dealer said something insensitive to them, they decided not to buy it and to never go back to them again.
Yeah.
I'm going to front you a quarter ounce, but you're an ugly son of a bitch. Then I'm not taking the quarter ounce.
Yeah.
Because you hurt my feelings.
And you know what? The meetings have the bag.
Yeah.
The meetings have the bag. If you go after your recovery with one-tenth of the energy you went after your dope with, you should have no flipping problem.
One of the most valuable things somebody said to me after my relapse, I went to a meeting and I'm standing up as a newcomer again, and I only had 6 months, so it wasn't like I lost a ton of time or whatever. But still, and it was obviously a woman who's seen a million people come in and out and in and out of the program. And so I got up and I took my newcomer chip again and I sat down, and she looked over at me and she said, so you done backing yourself up to the ass-kicking machine? And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you can stay or you can die. It's your choice. And that was it. And I was like, and it was so startling that I was like all of a sudden I thought, wow, she's like really serious. These people are serious. This is serious.
Well,
you know?
And let me clear up something about, like I said, the ass-kicking old-timers. There was no old-timers that told me that they weren't glad to see me. Hey,
yeah, I'm
you know
glad
what?
To see them.
They come up, give me a hug, welcome back. Now shut up. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's not that Mark isn't, you know, happy to see someone come back. But it's how do you treat these guys? I mean, are you going to treat them like they're a brand new guy who knows nothing?
I mean,
of course not.
These guys walked in the room. I hadn't seen them in a couple months. I know both of them. I like both of them. They came in. I gave them a big hug. How you guys doing? What's going on? Really? Again? You know. So,
arrows in your back?
Yeah, you know.
Thanks for doing the research for me.
Yeah,
you're
thanks.
Done?
I appreciate it. So the other night at the meeting, they pointed out I might have been a little insensitive. And the next night at the Friday night meeting that you were at a couple weeks back ago, somebody shared about it, and that's not exactly the right room to share about somebody being insensitive.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet they got lit up.
And one guy looked and said, yeah, well, Mark's kind of the Don Rickles of the program.
Nice. Hey, hockey puck.
So, you know, but it's, I mean, because there's just a lot of people in that meeting on Friday night with a lot of time.
Yes.
It's one of those meetings where I don't have the most time in the room for a CA meeting, which I really like, and but they just you know, they just kind of said, look, people don't get it.
Well, my feeling on that is that if everything is hunky-dory, oh, you know, it's all bitching, hey,
yeah,
it's great, it's in a way it's almost like co-signing that going out and coming back is okay.
Yeah.
I a couple of times I said it in a panel I was at the other day that relapse needn't be a part of recovery. It was part of my recovery, but it doesn't have to be, because
right,
the bottom line is no one treated me with kid gloves when I came back.
No.
They were happy to see me, but they would tell me straight out, dude, you're going to die. Dude, you're effed up. I used to go to NA meetings where they were real clear. Someone comes back in, they're like, and people would share at them sometimes, you know, and they'd be like, you're going to die. This is a life and death program, and if you don't want it, then go out there and get completely done. But if you're going to do this back and forth, you're not serving any good purpose for yourself or anyone else.
Yeah.
And not that they weren't happy to see him come back, but they would, the gloves would be off.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Shelly?
It's like I told a friend of ours that came back yet again the other night. I looked at him and I said, hey, you're alive. Awesome. Because he almost died the last time. I'm amazed he's still alive. You know, I think that...
Is this our friend with the daughter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the whole thing about when you're talking about it, people were saying you were a little insensitive. It baffles me that people still think that when you're talking about someone who is relapsing a lot, mm-hmm. that we have any room for sensitivity. Because you have to get to a point, because they're obviously not listening. So the only way, I don't even want to say to try to get through to them, because it's not our job to get through to them, but to impress upon someone the mm-hmm. fact that this isn't kosher is to be brutally honest.
I've had a guy that, Bruce, guy you sponsor, coming up on 3 years. I don't know how many times in the course of his sobriety he has come up to me and thanked me for the night that I just lit into him in a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he's made a big point of, you know, please be there for my birthday when it's coming up. And,
and
I was like, you know, yeah, I mean,
Well, I think that by coddling people that are going in and out, I don't think that's serving a good purpose. To play devil's advocate, I could see that if you're in a room and there's newcomers in the room and someone's coming back in again and someone lights them up, I could see where newcomers might go, oh, my God. At the same time, when guys used to light me up in meetings, there was plenty of newcomers in there too. And you know what? I had a guy tell me one time, he goes, you know what I love about you, Bruce? You make a fine example. It's a bad example. But because you're a bad example, it's a good example for newcomers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, dude, you're like the worst example of recovery there was at the time. And he goes, and we could point and go, look at this guy. He keeps doing it wrong. What happens? He goes out. He gets thrashed. He comes back. He goes out. He gets thrashed. He comes back. You don't want to be like him.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I decided...
He doesn't want to be like him.
And it wasn't until I decided I didn't want to be like him that I could change.
Yeah, I mean, when I came in, they wrapped their arms around me. They put me in the center of the pack like you do to the weakest animal in the pack. Everybody, they protected me. They kept me close. They stayed in contact with me. But then I saw other guys who came in like what I did, and if they went out and came back, they hugged them, they put them in the center of the pack, and they jostled them around a little bit while they were keeping them protected.
Yes.
You know, you go out the third time, and this was back in the day. And back in the day, you did it a second time and went out again, and you came back, and they lit you up. Welcome back, you stupid MF-er.
Yeah.
You know, what are you thinking? You're going to freaking die out there. So you know what? Why don't you do it close by here? Because that way we can all make a point of stepping over your body as we go into the meeting. You know?
Yeah, I've developed a habit of when people come back after a relapse of saying, well, what the hell did you do that for, you stupid shit?
Yeah. Yeah. What were you thinking?
One of my sponsors told me one time, he goes, would you really throw me in front of a syringe full of cocaine coming from the sky? I said, yes, I would. Yes, I would. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, but hopefully you've got your armor of recovery that will stop it. Because, you know, I don't know. Shelley, what would your final words on the subject be?
I don't know. If you're going to treat the retread the same way that you treat the newcomer, which is, you know, we treat the newcomers a little more gently, protect them a little more, like Mark said. We might be perceived as being a little kinder to them, but the reality is if you're going to treat the retreads the same way because you're worried about hurting their little feelings, you might as well just shoot them now.
Wow. Shelley, kick it down.
That was harsh.
Shelley's throwing... Shelley opened up a can of recovery. Whoop ass. How about you, Mark? Mark's over there looking at Shelley like, you go, girl.
We've been doing the show together for what, about 3.5 years now?
Yeah.
I am so proud of where you've gotten to from where you were. You used to look at me horrified when I said things like that. Now they roll off your tongue like warm syrup out of a pitcher.
I think it's now been 3.5 years. I'm a little farther along. I'm getting a little bit more tired of hearing the same BS out of the same people every week.
Yep.
So what are your final words, Mark?
I'm just proud. I got nothing else. I heard Shelley and I was just like, I love that, you know. My final words, stay.
While I am not a fan of coddling retreads, better a retread than a blowout.
True. That is very true.
Point
so, Shelley.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he'll send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Now, Mark.
Yes.
Someone wants to find 12-Step Gazette, and they don't want to type out 12-Step Gazette.
Go to recovery101.net, which is our site. This means you can do several things at once.
Yes.
It is. It's like a...
A catch-all.
It's like a big box of Kotex.
What?
Do several things at once. If you ever read the side of the box, it says you can go sailing, you can go camping, you can...
Oh,
go
that's
camping.
True. All while wearing
those are,
white.
That's like an all-purpose thing.
Yeah, all while wearing
wear
white.
Right.
Yes.
You have to wear white pants.
Yes.
That's disgusting.
Okay, we went time. Jump the shark.
So, anyway, go to recovery101.net and you can scroll down and click any of the links.
And we encourage that.
And we do encourage that. Also, while you're up there, if you would listen to the show from our site, we'd really appreciate it. And if you click the like button, then you would join Podomatic. And we would love if you would comment. We would love if you'd write comments and suggest show topics.
Yes.
Otherwise, you will listen to topics like this ad nauseum.
You can always send show topics as well to recovery101radio@gmail.com.
Yep. What if you wanted to advertise or sell advertising for us?
Recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
Awesome.
We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
And if you listen to the show, you'll see that while we are serious about our recovery, we came here to be sober, not somber.
Yes.
Shelley.
Yes.
Who's the lead out, rockin' lead out music by tonight?
Three Dog Night.
Sweet.
Joy to the world.
Dude.
Wow, I'm going to have to find, okay. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.